I must admit that with the additional loss that we have experienced just this morning, it passed through my mind just to scrap what we had planned and speak concerning the theme of our great and wonderful hope of heaven that we live with, that we prepare for, that we endure with, that we strive for, that we look forward to. But then as a result of our songs this morning and the Bible reading and various thoughts that Chris expressed, it seems to me that our topic that was pre-planned is indeed appropriate. I especially appreciate Larry mentioning in his prayer talking about learning more about great faith and learning more about great courage. Those are indeed thoughts that are involved in the lesson today and are qualities of the people, certainly, that we have lost. And so we talk today about a familiar story that we have known from our youth up, the story of Daniel and the lion's den, a story that is part of a story that begins with the capture of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel by the king Nebuchadnezzar, the first world empire, the Babylonians. Daniel was a teenager along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the time of that capture. Chapter 1 tells us a very fabulous story of how that they refused to eat the king's meat or to drink the king's wine as they were selected to be young leaders that would be trained even as Israelites to become Babylonians. And as a result of their great courage, they took their life into their hands, but they purposed in their heart, at least Daniel did, that they would not defile themselves with things that God had forbidden the Israelite to eat. And so Daniel continues to grow and to gain in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and then the kingdom of Belshazzar. And then when we come to chapter 6, there is a new king, a king Darius, the first of the Persians and the second world empire of the four world empires that we know. Darius determined that he was going to have 120 governors over the kingdom. In addition to that, there would be three commissioners, he, of course, being the king. And so really, a leadership of 124. Daniel was going to be the foremost of the three commissioners. And as you know, concerning his loyalty, his faithfulness, he would be an older man by now, not a teenager anymore in the service that he had rendered the Babylonians, even being faithful to his God, praying, as you know, three times daily with his open window to Jerusalem. Never forgetting, even as Joseph did not forget, when he was sold into Egyptian slavery, Joseph never forgot that he was an Israelite, not an Egyptian. Daniel never forgot that he was an Israelite, not a Babylonian, nor a Persian. And right there is a lesson for us that we never forget who we are or whose we are in a world that is increasingly like the world in which Joseph lived and the world in which Daniel lived and in the world in which even the Lord lived, a pagan world. Daniel finds his way to a lion's den as a result of a conspiracy against him and him alone. Someone who, even though faithful to Almighty God, still suffered consequences of that faithfulness. And in a verse that was not read, but really the entire chapter of chapter 6 of Daniel is what I like to call underlinable statements. And when you look at verse 5, these men who were opposed to Daniel and his rise to being second to King Darius, even over them, he is a Jew, they are Babylonians. We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. In other words, unless we can come up with something that will cause a conflict between his faith and between what the king commands, we're not going to find any wrong with him, any fault with him. They knew him well. They had observed him not just for a few days, not just for a few years, but really for a number of years. In fact, as I think about this story, I think, is this not an example, perhaps, of a verse that sometimes causes us difficulty, and yet at the same time, Daniel is an example of Proverbs 22:6, that someone who is raised in the way in which he should be raised, as he most definitely was, when he is old, or even when he is older, he is not going to depart from it. And that is true in Daniel's case. And so when there is this decree that goes out that if you pray or if you ask anything of anyone other than King Darius for 30 days, if you do that, then you'll be cast into a lion's den. Darius, not understanding the conspiracy, and extremely fond of the one that he had as his right-hand man, now the older Daniel, who had proven himself over and over and over again. He has to go along with the decree that he has signed. This is where we get the expression, the law of the Medes and the Persians, something that is unbreakable once it is written. And so let's follow the development of the story as Daniel himself, who lived in the 500s B.C., the time of the captivity of the nation of Israel, even before that and during his time. Let's look first of all at Darius's decree. The enemies knew about Daniel's character. They knew that there was nothing that would cause him to compromise what he believed and the one in whom he believed. I think sometimes that we look at Bible characters and we think that they are somehow different from us, that they somehow have a special power that we do not have. And you've got to remember that what they faced and the world in which they lived, yes, even though they received revelations from God, they did not have the full story that you and I have. And so they're not different from us. We have the full story. And yet we still are a people who fail to be as strong, who fail to be as courageous, who fail to be as uncompromising as the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must be in a pagan world. So the enemies knew that he was going to be faithful to his God no matter what. Regardless of what might happen, regardless of what Darius the king might demand, so they conceive a plan to destroy him. Anybody that asks a petition of anyone other than the king for 30 days, cast into a den of lions, and obviously as soon as you're in that den, you're going to be consumed by the power of the lions. The story reminds us that doing the right thing consistently will, even in this life, end in blessing, especially in the life to come, but it will not always be without consequence of those who are opposed to the Lord and opposed to doing what is right. Daniel's going to do the right thing no matter what in relation to his God, even though the doing of the right thing in the minds of the enemies of God will not guarantee that they will do right toward us. And sometimes when that happens, by the way, when things don't go our way, when things seem to happen to the very worst extent that we can possibly imagine, rather than remembering that there are a lot of reasons why things do not go right, we still have the tendency to blame God, do we not? We still ask God the question, why? Why did this happen? Why do you allow that to happen? And we look at an example like Daniel that it did not matter what wrongs were going to be done, what was going to be committed against him. It was his relation to his God that made all the difference in his life as well as in his destiny. Let's look at Daniel's devotion secondly. Here's another verse that was not a part of our reading. But in verse 10, after this decree had gone out to all of Babylon, all the Babylonian Empire, to all of the Persian now empire, not to make petition of any god for 30 days, a month. Daniel, as the next to the king, went to his room, opened the window, faced in the direction of his homeland, Jerusalem, that he had not seen for decades. And he continued praying three times a day, and noticed the emphasis upon as he had done previously. To me, that is emphasized here because it's emphatic. Here is a way of life that started a long, long time ago. In fact, in the days of youth, he was taught as a Jew to pray three different hours of prayer. You remember that Jesus was critical of those who observed hours of prayer but did so for the wrong motive, to be seen of others, to be heard of others. But it was a great Christian, or rather Jewish, discipline to pray, have hours of prayer three different times out of the day, usually 9 in the morning, 12 noon, 3 in the afternoon. Not sure if that was the schedule that Daniel kept, but he kept the discipline, he kept the practice that he'd been given as a youth. And now, in view of a decree that could cost him his life, he is not going to violate his conscience, he is not going to violate his heart, his conviction, his character, and his enemies knew it. What a compliment. What a tremendous commendation of a man's life. His decision to be faithful had been made as a young man, and even in a lion's den, there's no match for such great faith, courage, and conviction. Let's look thirdly at God's deliverance. In verse 23 of our reading this morning, after King Darius had spent a night without sleep, you notice early in the reading that he tried, from the time that he heard that Daniel was maintaining his schedule of praying, that he tried all day long to think of a way to keep Daniel out of the lion's den. He knew him. He admired him. I think it's safe to say he loved him. Had him second in charge. And yet he had written out this decree that was not to be violated, the law of the Medes and the Persians. And so as he put Daniel in the lion's den, he says about this good man earlier in verse 16, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." I can't deliver you from my own decree, but your God, whom you constantly serve, will deliver you. And at the end of the story, we find in verse 23, when he was brought out of the lion's den, no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. As a result of this great example of faith and fortitude, conviction and courage, in verse 26, we're told that Darius makes a second decree. When an angel of the Lord had been sent into the lion's den to close the mouth of the lions, Daniel had one of the most restful, peaceful nights of his life at a time when Darius could not sleep, could not eat, and was worrying constantly about his servant Daniel. And so at daybreak, he goes to check on him. And then finds, as a result of his safety, "I make a decree that all men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel." Think about the tremendous impact the example Daniel had made upon Darius. And then he says at the end of that decree, "who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." And so as we think about this particular story that usually is reserved for our Sunday school classes and vacation Bible schools and things like that, it is a story that we must never lose sight of and always have tucked away in our hearts, because there's tremendous application here. God knew that. God designed it. He intended it. And it must not be lost on us. Even when we're in times of sorrow, when our hearts are broken, we're sad, we may not know the immediate future or the immediate outcome, but we know the one who does. And so here are applications that I'd like for us to note as we learn again the story of Daniel in the lion's den. The question, will you dare to be a Daniel? Because maybe it is not a den of lions into which you may be thrown, but there are opportunities for you to compromise what you believe and to compromise the one in whom you believe and forget conveniently who it is that you belong to, for whom the Lord has died and been buried and raised from the dead. Let's think about these particular applications. It is indeed possible, based upon the example and the lesson that we learned from Daniel, to live a pure life in the midst of a thoroughly pagan world. Sometimes we bemoan the kind of world that we live in with all of its blessing and prosperity, and yet we bemoan the immorality, we bemoan the lack of concern about eternity, we bemoan the behavior and the attitudes of those who have no concept of the true and living God and really do not care. Well, guess what? That's the way the world has always been. And there has not been some glorified period of time in history when you do not find people like those who surrounded the faith and faithfulness of a courageous man like Daniel. And so we think about our time. We're really in a more blessed time. Look at all the people that are around you. And we have in the room today those who come from states and those who come from nations, where they may be the only one making a stand for the Lord for some considerable distance. And look around us. We are a favored people in the fact that we have the opportunity on a regular basis to be strengthened, to be taught, to be built up about conviction and courage. It is possible to be a Daniel, especially from the days of our youth, that we have already made decisions that we're not going to violate. We've already made choices. We've allowed a certain character to be determined. For instance, think about someone who believes so powerfully in the power of prayer that not to pray would be like not breathing or not eating, not being in worship services. At every time we assemble, if at all possible, would be like not breathing, not eating, not drinking. Those decisions, those choices have already been made a long time ago. And this is the kind of folk that the Lord has called to be His church, regardless of how pagan the world may be, regardless of how secular it may become, regardless of how atheistic, regardless of how religiously divided, regardless of how immoral, it doesn't matter. God is God. His word does not change, neither does He. And what we need are those who dare to be Daniels in a pagan world. God can use you to reach unlikely people when you prove to be faithful to Him. I don't know what happened to Darius after he made this decree that said, through all the land, through all the Persian Empire, every man is to serve the God of Daniel. Wouldn't you like to think that in terms of faith, that Darius became an Israelite, a proselyte to faith and obedience to God? Wouldn't you like to think that? I have no idea. But Daniel reached that man because of the kind of man that he was. And perhaps one of the things that we do is underestimate our influence. We underestimate, if you please, the level of importance or the level of significance, the level of impact that we have on people around us. I think of this group sitting right down here, the power that they have upon Chester County High School and middle school, junior high school. I think of our university students who are here today, and there are some who may choose not to be, but I think about those who are here, the tremendous impact upon an entire campus. I think about wherever it is that you go to school or you go to work, of being a difference maker, of drawing people closer to God, and when they tell you to do things that are contrary to the will of God, and you say, I'm sorry, this may cost me my position, but I cannot do that. I will not do that. There may be some that will take positions, but it may very well be the case that that employer will say, you are exactly the kind of person I'm looking for. That's what happened with Daniel. And it has happened many, many times since. God is able and willing to deliver us from any danger we face. There are others that are watching us to see if we mean what we say. More importantly, there is someone watching over us who will reward us and bless us for meaning what we say. I want to close today with a little piece that, as it turns out, is more appropriate for this occasion than what I intended. I am a fan, a student, if you please, of the history of preaching. And in the 17th century, there was an Englishman by the name of Richard Baxter who had a tremendous influence on the British Empire and still does, the number of books that he wrote. But on the occasion of the passing of his beloved wife, Margaret, in 1681, he would live 10 years more. He wrote this piece. Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live. To love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, yet why should I be sad to soar to endless day? Christ leads us through no darker rooms than he went through before. He that unto God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. Come, Lord, when grace has made me meet thy blessed face to see. For if thy work on earth be sweet, what will thy glory be? My knowledge of that life is small, the eye of faith is dim, but 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. I would like for that to be our prayer today, especially as we think about daring to be Daniel's, daring to be Joseph's, daring to be Peter's and Paul's and Mary's and Martha's and Dorcas's. As we think about those who have taken their stand, made early decisions about what to do with their life and who they're going to love and who they're going to serve, and they're going to be faithful to that no matter what. While the room today is filled with people who have made decisions like that, those who are struggling with those decisions have nothing more than to look out and to reach out and to ask for someone who has been through far more than you may know and from it has learned that what has been said today in reference to someone who lived centuries ago is absolutely true and been repeated many, many times, not just in the characters of Scripture, who at the time did not know all the rest of the story, but who knew there is a God in heaven. In fact, you find that statement in Daniel 2:28. There is a God in heaven, and because of that, we are who we are. We believe what we believe. We practice what we do, And we do so, quite frankly, in all humility, which may be the reason why we are more silent than we ought to be. But as we sing today, it is a time not to be silent. It is a time to sing as though you're singing your last song. It is a time to be vibrant. It is a time to be jubilant, even in the midst of tears. Some of you have been receiving texts from our beloved Brother Bob Brown, a man of great faith and tremendous conviction and courage and loyalty to his bride, who announced her passing a few moments ago by saying, "Joni has gone to be with Karen and with Cole and with so many others who have gone before her." How can you better describe someone who a long time ago made decisions as to what they believed, how they were going to live, how they were going to serve, in preparation for this day? They are Daniels. You can be too if you make the same decision, the same choice. Love with all of your heart and serve with all of your soul the same God. Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God? Have you been baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? And are you walking in the light as he is the light, where he continually covers us from all of our transgressions? That's available to you. The world that is pagan is a world that is closer to being condemned and lost for eternity. But those who choose to be Daniels, those who choose to be saints, by the grace and mercy of God, are one day closer to being with those who are now with the Lord himself. Will you join them by living their kind of life, preparing for their kind of death, while we stand and sing? When we walk